Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 703. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamito. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
It has been glorious only driving 15 minutes to work. I feel more chipper and ready to do this show. That was not always fun to be driving 2.5 hours every day. So I am pretty excited, this is, yet again, another week where we have a shit ton of wrestling to cover because Dynamite was on Saturday night again. We're still, though, going to start the show, on SmackDown. They were back on Fox. I don't feel like there is any ratings talk this week, thank God. If there is a popularity pool, the end of SmackDown went over like a lead balloon.
Yeah, it did. It was a bad idea from the start. You know, the title switch they did last year with the New Day and the Street Profits was a quickie segment backstage. Obviously, reasons for New Day and Street Profits to do it amicably and friendly.
Yeah,
and that it was fine for what it was. But this, making this the main event segment on the show, in a show that did not feature a heck of a lot of in-ring wrestling already. And then just closing the show with it and putting both of these ladies in a position to essentially look weak, which is where this is one area where I will absolutely agree with both of them that this was not a good idea for a segment. But it going off the rails the way that it did on camera in front of the people. Not the most professional thing I've ever seen in my life. Charlotte has been having more and more of these moments on camera in front of people over time. So you see how some people could see that it's becoming a pattern with her. The word was that neither of them wanted to do this segment. They both argued against it. Charlotte argued very loudly, feeling that the way that it was originally written was more making Becky look stronger than her. The moment where Becky grabbed the title from Charlotte, tried to grab the title from Charlotte, and then Charlotte just let it fall to the ground, or oops, she really did drop it. That is a point of consternation with many people, whether Charlotte intended to do that or not. Becky Lynch sure thought she intended to do that when she then threw the SmackDown Championship at Charlotte Flair. Yeah, this was bad all around. Definitely made worse. Apparently there were words backstage between Charlotte and Becky. Also, Sonya Deville felt that Charlotte, made her look incompetent in her role. So they had words, and Lord knows Charlotte doesn't want any. Would not have wanted that situation to get physical.
yeah, she may not be an in-ring competitor, but I'm still going to put stock in Sonya Deville over anyone else pretty much in the women's division.
Yeah. So, yes, a lot of heat on Charlotte. A lot of heat has been on her. We have talked about it a lot over the last year. She hasn't seemed herself probably the majority of it. She hasn't seemed like her old self since she returned from her sabbatical. She really didn't seem to be the most motivated either before she went on that sabbatical. We've talked about that, she seems like she's accomplished everything she wanted to do in wrestling, and she's been over it for quite a while now. Ever since she main evented WrestleMania in 2019, it hasn't felt like she has been as engaged as she was previously. a lot of the heat for this incident and a lot of other instances is going on her. Again, I'm not backstage. I don't know any of these people personally. So, and of course, you know, it's wrestling. So it's, you know, this person's getting a big head, and oh my god, and, you know, they're so egotistical, and you hear it over and over again. And with women, you can maybe make the argument that you hear it more and more often. So I don't want to get into the thing where it's like that bitches be cray cray type situation.
yeah, because I would have to think that whatever, because I mean, you don't even need to go that far in the past to kind of say that does probably happen to the women more often. You know, how many times has Sasha Banks supposedly been in the doghouse only to have them continue to feature her? You know, to me, she feels kind of like the main example. And I mean, she just, I mean, there's still that mystery absence that she just had recently. And we don't know what happened, but she's certainly not out of eye shot very far, you know?
No, she is not. And once again, I absolutely believe that segment went off the rails and that there are maybe some legitimate bad feelings with Charlotte and Becky and maybe Charlotte and the rest of the locker room. Because what I've seen with my own eyes, you know, and the perspective I have watching this crap all my life and being so deep in the bubble, I can see when someone has just in some way checked out mentally as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I've commented about that as much as anyone about how Charlotte has come off over the last year.
Yeah, she has not really had. She has not had a good past year at all.
No, she really has. There have been maybe a handful of good matches, you know, here and there, but otherwise, yeah, not up for her past work. Promos. She's always been fine, good.
Yeah, I still love her delivery on promos, but I do feel like it's pretty one-note-y is my only problem with her promos, really.
Yeah, she's very one-note. You're right. It's interesting what her move would be. Be if she were to find herself out of WWE anytime soon. Once again, I don't know if I really feel like she's enjoying wrestling anymore. Maybe she could find herself in AEW. Maybe just being able to travel with Andrade everywhere is what would make her happy. Who knows? You know, there's other things. You know, I don't know what the status of that movie she was supposed to be filming for, you know, NBC Universal. Either it was supposed to be for a USA show or a Peacock show or something. I don't know the status of that.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I have my doubts of her as an actress because once again, I'm not sure if her promo style, you know, can transition to being a, you know, conversational dialogue in a movies and television. The fitness influencer space is quite oversaturated. So once again, I don't know exactly what she would do with the rest of her life.
But no, right.
It does not seem like she's happy in WWE. It does not seem like she's happy in WWE.
Yeah. All things would kind of point in that direction with her. She seems to get fed up with some of the bad wrestlers in WWE. I don't know what she'd do in AEW, where, again, admittedly, it's an improving division. It's still not as good as, you know, the WWE divisions. You know, like, I'm going to count the women's division as a whole, both on Raw and SmackDown. I know it's not the way that it works theoretically, but I'd still take the main roster talent over what AEW has the current moment. So that would be kind of interesting if she heads over there to see what kind of a reaction she would have to them. So, knowing whether or not she's just really fed up with wrestling or if it's something else, there were definitely a couple of things that, maybe piss her off more, just mostly because of Andrade. Seth Rollins is obviously still around, so he doesn't have any problems. And is Sasha Banks guy somehow attached to the WWE? I'm trying to remember.
He works backstage.
Yeah, so
I don't know if he still does. But I know he did.
Yeah, so that's that certainly helps that two of your big three have people either within close proximity or kind of know what they're dealing with already. in Sasha Banks' husband's case, that could be a big part of it. Like, because that did not seem amicable at the time, if memory serves. That whole
he's very negative on WWE, and well, he put out a tweet that by probably 11 p.m. Eastern that night that said F U WWE. So he'd already heard an earful. From her point of view about what happened.
That's kind of a big one to live through, like, because it is kind of interesting. I guess this happened, not that we need to talk about it for long, but we know that Zelina Vega is at least in something of a similar situation, although hers is more her, I think, is even crazier than the Charlotte situation in a lot of ways.
Yeah, she resigned after her husband had already been let go. So it was a weird, but she'd also been discussing a comeback for some time. She is now getting a push.
Yeah.
So it's possibly less weird. Plus,
oh yes. Well,
Malakai Black, a.k.a. Tommy End, went out of his way to be very complimentary of WWE on the way out.
Yes. Yeah, he definitely is not as angry as some of the other people.
No. His was to the point of people mocking him for being so nice to WWE on the way out.
Oh, man, just funny how that works sometimes.
Amazing. You can't win with wrestling Twitter. You just can't win.
He really didn't have the worst run. It wasn't terrible. He wasn't completely done wrong on the main roster. He at least got more time than some people, but he still didn't get a whole lot of time.
He wasn't a good fit. He's a much better fit for AEW.
Oh,
we'll talk about the end result of Dynamite as we go on here. But who does not feel like a good fit in AEW actually, and I'm starting to notice this more and more. Andrade, I don't feel like he's fitting in AEW.
I guess that's a possibility.
He feels detached as well, which is kind of funny. It's because it seems like he's going to be programmed with Cody Rhodes next.
I guess with him, I'm not sure if it's just because of the persistent problems with travel that seem to plague a Death Triangle specifically, that maybe has slowed his momentum.
Yeah, it is still difficult for him to talk for himself with the language barrier. His English has improved a lot over the years, but there's still something of a disconnect. The Chavo thing obviously didn't work. The Flair thing's not happening anytime soon, I don't think. So, yeah, he's left out there. He's trying to do this. He's trying to dress like $1 million and be this Latin Lothario type. It's not all coming together.
I think that's a good way to put it. Like, there needs to be something else in the mix to really kind of tie everything together. With him, like, I do the outfits that he's worn to the ring. I really dig that that gangster look that he has going on with it, but it doesn't always completely carry through in the character, like how he's playing it.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think that's a good summation of it
So,
of his issues so far.
yeah, so that, yeah, I guess he still has a little bit of time, but if he's getting sucked into the Cody Rhodes world, I don't think that that's for the best. More than
Yeah, that was.
likely, it's not for the best.
Yeah, that whole thing from Rampage was just weird that, in any way connect the characters of Andrade and Malakai Black just doesn't fit at all. These two would, I don't care if they're best of friends in real life, which maybe that's true. The
Oh.
characters of Andrade and Malakai Black should never even have a conversation with each other to have ever set that up. To end Rampage. And then for it to end with Cody Rhodes coming out and clearing the ring with both of them. Yeah, that didn't help either.
Oh man, yeah,
And now let's talk about it. Match number three between Cody Rhodes and Malakai Black. Cody Rhodes gets his win back. Yay.
yeah, I think we talked about it last week. Like, there was nothing good to be had. Like, Cody gets a win back after being destroyed twice. So, like, okay, like, the guy finally lost a third time and he didn't get steamrolled like he did to you.
No, he didn't. No, 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 no. Once again, the match they had on Dynamite was pretty damn good.
Oh,
I'll give
yeah.
him credit for that. And by the end of the match, the crowd wasn't completely booing Cody as they were when he entered the match, but it's still, I don't think it helped the situation at all. And Cody insisting on continuing as a baby face is not going to help him or AEW at all, or anyone he's working with.
That was the craziest thing to me because I started tuning into it and I'm just like, oh my God, they are booing the shit out of him. And then when he ended up winning, I'm like, huh, there's kind of a cheer going on. This is like, it was kind of interesting. There aren't a lot of times where, like, he didn't completely win the crowd back over, but they also didn't shit on the wind, so that's, I guess, getting somewhere.
Yeah.
So yeah, I it's yeah, it's it, it it's gonna be interesting moving forward, I guess.
Actually, did you see that thing that went around a couple weeks ago where it is funny? Tony Khan on the sidelines of the Jaguars. Somebody took a picture of him where he was holding this notebook. And
Oh.
people were actually were able to actually zoom in on it and see that it was the actual card for Full Gear,
Yes. Yeah, I did not actually
which
click
is
on any
brilliant.
of the articles. So I didn't, because that's one of those ones where I'm like, I don't want to spoil myself, so I'm just not going to read this story. But I definitely knew that it was, I guess I did not realize, I thought that I assumed it was backstage somewhere. I didn't realize that it was a Jaguars game.
Yeah, he's fantasy booking while he's supposed to be watching a football game. He's just like Gus. but yeah. But the one I will tell you about, and obviously the card is obviously now starting to piece itself together. But
yeah,
the one I will tell you about is that someone was able to find out the part where it said Cody versus Malakai Black or Andrade or Miro. So one of those three people was in play for to be Cody's full beer opponent. But Tony Khan hadn't decided on who. So Tony Khan is having to, like, shoehorn Cody into these shows and throw things together just to justify his placement on cards.
It's just really been noticeable that Cody has been just really devoid of interacting with the roster writ large. It's weird. Like, because it's not even like a situation where you have Matt Hardy. With the Broken Universe, you needed to get sucked into it and sucked away from, like, the main wrestling reality. Even when it, well, obviously when it was over in Impact Wrestling. You know, you don't get sucked in that way, but it's still this weird bizarro world where, like, yeah, you just don't interact with the rest of the roster. Like, there aren't a lot of run-ins. There aren't a lot of shenanigans from any of the other teams. Like, no one's, like, FTR isn't going after him just for shits and giggles or anything. Like, the Pinnacle and, I can't even think of what Jericho's team name is right now.
The inner circle
wouldn't go after Cody. Like, it's pretty weird. Yeah. So yeah, Andrade getting sucked into that universe. I don't think it's a good thing for someone who's already struggling.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree.
So, and we are getting Miro back here at some point, because did he have his little segment on Rampage, or did he have that on Dynamite?
I think he had that on Dynamite. Yeah, he's definitely, yeah. Hopefully him losing the TNT Championship can be a positive if he can be build himself up, they can build him up to be a viable challenger for the world title. And they're going to need viable. Presuming they're going with their with who should be their franchise babyface by the time we leave Full Gear, they definitely need to have heels to feed their franchise babyface Hangman Adam Page. So yeah, Miro can absolutely fit that bill. And only having one loss against him will be fine. He can go back. He can destroy some people again. And yeah. No, he definitely talked me back into believing in the Redeemer again.
I guess I'm not surprised. Like you said, like the main crux of him getting back up and running is just going after the world title. Like, he doesn't want any. I was about ready to call it the North American Championship, the TNT Championship. Title opportunities. Like, he just needs to move on to bigger and better things. He is one of those guys right now on their roster that should be in that orbit anyway.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of their better talkers. He's one of their better in-ring performers. So, yeah, no reason not to push him to that territory. And like you said, and it'd be nice, Miro versus John Moxley. That hasn't really happened, has it? I'm doubting myself as I say it.
As a second hour match on SmackDown at some point, I'm sure, but no, not as anything that really meant anything.
Okay. Yeah. I was wondering if somehow they had crossed paths in AEW already, and I had just kind of forgotten about it. But
no, definitely not in AEW.
So yeah, John, we've talked about how desperately in need of opponents Moxley is, and Miro fits that bill too. Because yeah, John Moxley does not need to be going for the TNT Championship either, really.
Well, Moxley's another one that when he had that. That squash match against one of the Dark Order or was it one of Orange Cassidy's friends? Yeah, it was Wheeler Yuta. Yeah, he just beat him really quickly, just really aggressively.
Yes,
is Moxley turning heel sometime soon? Once again, the end goal of giving Adam Page opponents. That's fine. They should turn everyone heel to defeat Hangman. Hangman's the guy.
Yeah. Definitely. There's no reason not to be doing that for Hangman. And I guess we kind of get into that talk of gray areas. But yeah, they definitely seem to be moving him to a darker shade of gray with the way he's been acting.
Yeah, he's got another. He's got his opponent tomorrow on Dynamite or tonight. By the time people will actually get a chance to listen to this, is 10 of the Dark Order. I'm like, I really don't know how 10 of the Dark Order became one of the top 8 contenders, but. Yeah, man, it's an obvious win for Moxley.
That one is not going to. If 10 wins, that's the only way it would surprise me, and I just do not foresee that happening.
No.
Yeah, Moxley's he's been in a weird spot for a while, so Miro moving around there would be fun. Malakai Black getting out of the... honestly, it hasn't been all bad for, I guess, Malakai Black within the Cody, being in the Cody universe there. But he definitely needs to get out of that place also.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of happy for him to be able to get out of that universe. I'm trying to think of what else happened since we kind of more switched to AEW. I'm trying to think of the other big things. Bryan Danielson continues to have good to great matches with, like, a litter of opponents at this point.
Yeah, no. Danielson's been fun. Dustin Rhodes has had quite a bit left in the tank, and so that ended up being a really fun match for him. His Kingston, I believe, is Friday on Rampage. That should be a real treat to watch. I'm sure they wrestled a bunch of times early in their careers, but. In AEW and on prime time, more late night network television. I'm sure they'll go ham, as the kids say.
They have really been given Danielson a lot of leash in his matches, and he certainly seems to have a little more. Little more wrestling left than CM Punk. But yeah, I'm trying to think. Was there anything else big? I'm kind of looking through AEW. Is there anything else that really stood out on this?
Not really, because not really. Because once again, we're still in this weird. Area where Dynamite's airing on Saturday, so but now that's over. for, I don't know, maybe for good. I don't know, because once the TBS move happens, maybe around next year's baseball playoffs, there might be issues with TBS scheduling, but they won't have the basketball and the hockey issues moving forward either.
Yeah, they're probably still going to get preempted. I mean, no matter how much, obviously, even if the WWE is getting bumped off of regular Fox coverage sometimes, I think that it just seems destined to happen for AEW that at least every now and again it's going to get bumped.
Yeah, I think, during the Major League Baseball playoffs, but I don't think during the regular season. I think it might be Tuesday and Thursday games on TBS during the regular season. So that won't affect AEW. No.
I had no idea that they actually had games during the week on TBS.
I believe they do.
Yeah, I do not know the answer to that question. That is the way I will put it.
I don't really know either, but don't really care.
That's why I do not know the answer, and that is on the list of Kevin's not going to look it up. Nope. But yeah, I don't think they have very much weekday coverage or regular season coverage on TBS. So I don't think they're going to have too many problems until playoffs. And even at that juncture, it's usually the first round or two that you really need to worry about when there are a lot of games where you might get bumped. As the playoffs go along and the team numbers drop down, it's not usually as much of an interference there. But I also would imagine that whomever has TBS has TNT has TBS, so I don't think anyone's really going to be lost viewership wise.
No, not at all.
But yeah, that's supposed to be coming up in January, is it not?
Yeah, first Wednesday in January.
Okie doke. Well, yeah, that's going to be here sooner rather than later.
Yep.
So I guess to bounce back to WWE, you did kind of say it, and I think it was not too surprising. SmackDown was pretty heavy on the introducing the new names to the SmackDown brand this week, and putting on some of their, I will call them B players to run with the ball. Like, they did have the big segments, obviously Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar made it back from Saudi Arabia. But for the most part, you know, they used people that were not on that card most of the night. So, because I'm seeing Drew McIntyre, Sami Zayn, not a whole lot to be said about that, honestly. Oh, yeah, Mustafa Ali, Mansoor, those poor guys. And it really wasn't much of a... I guess there is something maybe to be said about Swerve Scott and Top Dollar being thrown out as a tag team in the first appearance by Hit Row.
Yeah, that was interesting. And also their first appearance being in Wichita, Kansas. the hip-hop loving community of Wichita came out in full force for a little Swerve and Top Dollar, but it was fine. Interesting that Swerve and Top Dollar were presented as a team. Swerve is obviously the veteran worker of the foursome. Top Dollar is, of course, going to get pushed because of his size. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with them moving forward, because it was a very quick, move through NXT for them. B-Fab has only had one actual match, or like two actual matches, I think, now. It was just one actual match. I think Ashanti has only had tag matches, maybe. So that's gonna be same thing for Top Dollar. So no, that's gonna be interesting going forward from that perspective. But not once again, but they've already got a fully formed act that seems to translate better than a lot of acts. So they're certainly gonna get their shot.
I just found the pairing interesting, because that kind of is like, hold on, are you gonna have two people in this group kind of be dead weight? Like, that would be, an interesting choice. I'm not sure that I'd like it, but it's a choice. But it just might also be them trying to feature the two top players in the group so far. I don't want to get too wildly speculative about what the WWE's plans are based off of one match. It was kind of interesting. Like, I guess I wasn't surprised that... in some ways that they made their debut, again, just because they didn't go over there. They didn't go over to Saudi Arabia. I wasn't surprised to see them soaking up some time. And Happy Corbin and Shinsuke Nakamura chewed up some more time. That feud feels like it's been taking forever.
Yeah. Yeah, this
even
this
though it hasn't.
This Happy Corbin thing isn't working at all. Just imagine how much we were enjoying Broke Corbin, the event, and his misadventures, for it to turn into this. An actual worse version of Corbin than he was before.
I do not like the addition of Madcap Moss to the equation.
I don't know why they keep trying to make Riddick Moss a thing. Riddick Moss is not a thing. He's not going to be a thing. Stop it.
I think that's what's kind of, to me, hurting him as much as anything. He's laughing at just truly horrific jokes, and it's not I know that he's supposed to be an asshole, but it's too easy to see through it with how it's being presented. So I do not think that they're doing him any favors with how he's being booked currently. So yeah, we will look back fondly on the Broke Corbin days, and probably not talk about the Happy Corbin days after this segment, of course. We ended up with the fiasco that we led this show off with. And Raw, a little more composed, because they did have some time to regroup from the shenanigans in Saudi Arabia. I guess, was there anything at that show? Like, this is the first show, this is the first podcast that I've recorded since that show. Like, that's how long it's been.
Yeah.
If I had my druthers with me, it would have been the night of Crown Jewel. But was there anything that really stood out at Crown Jewel that's worth talking about?
just how damn good the show ended up being, just shockingly, in front of this rabidly hot crowd that just loved every single moment of that show. You know, definitely not one of the previous Saudi efforts where it seems like there's a lack of effort. If you haven't seen it, go out of your way to watch the Seth Edge Hell in a Cell match.
Oh, yes. I already got that suggestion from Jeremy, and I still have not gone out of my way to watch that. But it did also lead off the show, which I was surprised, but also it's one of those classic WWE start 'em off hot kind of shows.
Yeah.
There are moves that they do sometimes. So I was simultaneously surprised and not surprised when he told me that.
Yeah, no. It was definitely started the show off hot. Definitely put the best match of the show on first, but you know, the women's title match, some people felt it was a little overdone with all the three-way spots, the kind of, you know, convoluted three-way spots that they can put in these matches. I enjoyed it a lot, so I recommend that match. But Big E and Drew was really good. Finn and Xavier was really good. Brock and Roman Reigns was a lot of fun, you know, especially compared to most of their other matches against each other. A hell of a show from top to bottom, you know, shockingly.
I guess to me it's not completely shocking. I think that both you and I and Jeremy and I kind of talked about how this was the first time the WWE really integrated their storylines into a Saudi show. Like,
they definitely did.
Everyone made jokes about how, you know, again, like, even acknowledging that Goldberg was on this Saudi card, they did not pull out an Undertaker and Kane versus Triple H and Shawn Michaels style match for this one.
No, they did not. No. And the Goldberg-Lashley feud had been fully integrated into WWE storylines.
Yep.
Goldberg did win, but I don't think it was for nothing. I know that, you know, it because he did it himself, the idea of Big E versus Goldberg has been floated out there. It's what Big E wants more than anything else in life. So at some point, I think we're getting it. And now that Goldberg's got another win under his belt, they can justify it. So I could see that. I could see it being the Rumble title match, but I could also see it, since that day one pay-per-view on January 1st is in Atlanta, I can see them pulling out Goldberg in his hometown.
That would be pretty interesting, and it would be a smart play on their part.
Yeah.
But like you said, we'll see if that ends up happening.
Yeah. But no. That John Drew ended up really, really good. You know, once again, as we said, it was they put all their eggs into that basket. It was the only pay-per-view of the month, and they really pushed it as, you know, a big four worthy show. It just got somewhat out of nowhere, but it definitely had that feel. You know, by the time Brock and Roman Reigns got in the ring, it had a big fight feel. It had a big fight feel. Certainly more than anything at WrestleMania. I'm not the most objective observer of this as far as how the Roman Reigns versus John Cena match at SummerSlam felt, because I was there live. But I would say, you know, even just watching on TV, the big fight feel was definitely palpable for Brock and Roman Reigns.
You know, the main thing that helped to me, and again, even acknowledging that I did not actually watch Crown Jewel, there was at least some doubt to me that Roman Reigns was coming out of that as the champion. Brock Lesnar is, you know, one of a very few number of guys that if you tell me he beats Roman Reigns, I'm not completely surprised.
No, no, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
You know, Cena was definitely not in that position. No matter how big his name is and how many eyeballs he may have brought to it because he's just been in a shit ton of movies. You know, that's a good and valuable thing to have, but it also tips you off that he's not winning the championship.
Right. No. And they're definitely running Rock and Roman Reigns again because of everything that happened on SmackDown. The wild, chaotic segment that got Brock Lesnar suspended indefinitely.
Oh.
Either that's like the Rumble title match, or they are gonna take that all the way to WrestleMania.
It is entirely possible. Brock Lesnar loves to take vacations, and you know he has beat up quite a number of officials to earn himself these style suspensions. And how many times has he actually done this? It's got to be a handful at this point, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I feel like he does it every. Sometimes he just vanishes off after he loses the title, like he did to Drew. Of course, there was also a pandemic going on, so that kind of made sense. But, Brock always kind of has a strong exit strategy in that department. And he pulled that card out again this time around. And, yeah, it was, it serves its purpose. It will be interesting to see when they revisit that feud. Because, yeah, I mean, we have made fun of the November and December pay-per-views quite frequently over the last several years here on Stunt Granny. And it's no surprise that Brock Lesnar is skipping one of those, or both of those.
Yeah, well there's not going to be a December pay-per-view.
I forgot about that. Because they're doing the Jan. 1 show. Because are they doing two in January?
Yeah, they're doing two in January, yep.
Okay. Okie dokie.
There's no reason to have Brock around during this period. He's a free agent, so he really doesn't care about Raw versus SmackDown. You know what was? You know what's been really interesting between Friday and Monday, SmackDown and Raw, with the exception, I think, of Becky Lynch. No one even mentioned you don't use the word Survivor Series.
And how far away is Survivor Series?
4 weeks.
Ooh,
it's not completely out of the ordinary. I mean, to not have matches set up by now by that 4 week mark is not out of the ordinary. But to not even mention it at all, that's a little weird. It's definitely a little weird.
They always do seem very on to the next pay-per-view, especially if they have a short porch like that. You know, blowing it, I would imagine, and then that's the upside to SmackDown. SmackDown can start build to that this week if they want to. But, you know, they still seem to, they kind of have their own unresolved issues that will probably be addressed more than Survivor Series tribalism.
Yeah, Survivor Series has you know, moving to the brand warfare gimmick. It's led to some big moments. It's led to some really good matches, but it can be very messy getting there. You know, the whole conundrum of making people actually care about Raw versus SmackDown. You know, for 4 weeks out of the year, the Raw and SmackDown rosters become the Bloods and the Crips.
And it really has not aided the WWE at all. That the draft, at least within the last 5 years, has taken place entirely too close to Survivor Series.
I think that was more of a thing in the last 3 years, I think.
Okay.
So I think the year previous to that, it was there would be a draft or a shake-up post-WrestleMania, which is definitely more palpable in that regard. But yeah, these October drafts, especially this year, with the rosters not settling until after Crown Jewel, yeah, it gets really silly. You can see that they're building up. Well, they're obviously already built. They're building up title matches to happen on TV in the next few weeks. Yeah, on our way there.
Yeah.
So, it's always that thing where these titles can change hands and change the face of Survivor Series, and they do. I think every year on the way to Survivor Series, at least one or two titles has changed, and the Survivor Series match ends up changing. I wouldn't surprise me at all if neither Becky or Charlotte end up our women's champion, and the match in Survivor Series ends up being Bianca versus Sasha. That would not surprise me at all.
Yeah, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Now, is Roman Reigns versus Big E penciled in? Yeah, I think so.
That would be pretty strange for that to change right now.
Because, man, would Wrestling Twitter burn it down? Wrestling Twitter would burn down if Seth Rollins beat Big E before Survivor Series.
I do want to see that feud, but I want it to be a feud. You know, Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, like, they're just both... I feel like they've been kept away from each other for a while now.
Yeah.
And it would feel like a fresh matchup. I mean, obviously, I know that they've probably wrestled more than enough times against each other. But yeah, it would be really fun. And both of their personas are so egomaniac that they should work as opponents against each other. But yeah, having it happen at Survivor Series, that just sounds like a bad idea. You know, that does not sound like the best use of their history together, their history cachet to be used for.
No, I mean, as a one-off match, Roman Reigns versus Big E is as good as anything they've got, and a good idea. And they've laid the groundwork with some interactions in the interim here that we've had since Big E won the title, and the six-man tag they did in Raw, the triple threat match they did on Raw on the same night. So yeah, no, Roman Reigns and Big E is a fine main event for Survivor Series, and I don't foresee that one changing yet. Yeah, I don't really foresee the tag titles changing either, because I think RK-Bro versus the Usos, that's a fine match, to only get once as a one-off. I could not care less about the Intercontinental and U.S. title match, whatever that ends up being. I hope it's not Corbin.
Yeah.
But then again, Nakamura versus Priest is not... Nakamura versus Damian Priest seems like a weird match, too.
Yeah, that seems like a strange matchup to be having. And because I guess I was kind of thinking to myself, has Damian Priest been a little MIA the last couple of weeks, or did I just forget his segment on Raw?
Well, he wrestled T-Bar, so...
Oh, that's why I forgot it, huh?
That's why I forgot.
Okie dokie. Well, that makes sense. Jeez, and he's still T-Bar. He's all by himself, and he's still T-Bar. Just There are really weird times when the WWE, at least in some way, sticks by someone, and they've done that for T-Bar, but I don't know why, though, either. Because they haven't really done him any favors, even though they've stuck by him. Like, yeah.
Right, yeah.
He's gotten TV time, but not for the best. So, trying to think of, yeah, because, man, there were a lot of squash matches on Raw. Because Liv Morgan and Carmella was not very long. Bearcat versus Cedric Alexander was not long. Austin Theory versus Dominic Mysterio. Man, there were some short matches. And, yeah. I guess maybe... Yeah, is there anything to be said for the Dirty Dogs? Somehow milking two segments out of his show?
Nothing says season premiere and the new era of Monday Night Raw like two Dolph Ziggler matches on one show.
And I guess we did get the main event. We've at least touched on Seth Rollins a little bit. But four-way ladder match for a shot at the WWE Championship. Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Rey Mysterio, Finn Balor. Seth is the one that comes out with, it's not quite a Money in the Bank contract, but it's, hey, it's a championship match nonetheless. Seth Rollins certainly seems to be filling that main event heel. I feel like he's lost a lot of championship matches, and I don't feel like this one's going to be any different in the scheme of things.
He's been that gatekeeper guy, to especially as a heel for a babyface champion to get a win over, you know, early in their run. That's really what his role has been. Yeah, and you know, I don't see this being any different. I'm surprised. He's the only heel in the match, so in a way that makes sense.
Yeah.
But burning through a Big E versus Seth Rollins match on Raw instead of waiting for, you know, either one or both of the January pay per views, you know, interesting decision there. But no, it'll be a really good match. I won't complain about it.
Yeah, there's some things you don't completely object to when you're throwing out a complaint. Yeah, the match being good is one thing. It making sense to do it just on a Raw instead of waiting for a pay-per-view is always interesting. But I would also wager a guess that this feud is not going to just be a one-and-done kind of a situation.
It's possible, yeah.
So I hope that it continues. Nonetheless, anything else to cover before I talk about some beer?
No, go beer me.
Because I was out of the office at Dayton, I finally went to the Hairless Hair Brewing Company, which was all of about 10 minutes from my old office, and I got their pumpkin porter, and it is pretty daggone delicious. It has a nice pumpkin spice flavor to it. It's a little bit light for a porter to me. It's not maybe as thick and creamy as I would like it, but it also has a great smoked flavor to it. So it is, it's pretty daggone delicious. I guess for that reason, it tastes a little more like a pumpkin ale, more than a pumpkin porter to me. But nonetheless, it's good. No matter how you define the word of what it is exactly. So that is the Beltane beer of the show. The Hairless Hair. I do not think they distribute. I could only get this in a growler. So they did not even have cans to sell. That is this kind of a place. So if you happen to be in the Dayton area, they do have some other good beverages that I've had in past occasions. So the Hairless Hair is a good suggestion. Should you find yourself in Dayton, I am at DeFrango11. That is my hashtag Beltane beer of the show. The brand is at Stunt Granny. He is at Stunt Cali. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Stitcher. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.